It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, how stupid do you have to be? How stupid do you have to be in the NFL and gamble and bet on games? Whether it's with your own team, against your own team, like the idea, really, that shouldn't make it any worse. The idea is just betting, period, on these games. How stupid do you have to be, especially now? It's one thing with Calvin Ridley, and he's an idiot too. I mean, anybody who's ever, if you're in the NFL and you place a wager on football, you're just beyond stupid. Like, I can't even imagine how dumb somebody can be. But then after seeing Calvin Ridley get nailed for it, how does Isaiah Rodgers do that? But yeah, blame it on Matt Ryan. He's the problem with Indianapolis. Must be him. I mean, think about this. Is this guy kidding me? And guess what? He won't be the last one. There's going to be another player at some point in the future. Whether it's 2 months from now, 2 years from now, somebody else is going to do it. Like, I'd love to know. Now, we forget sometimes that these guys are just stupid, idiot kids. 20 years of age, you know, whatever, 21, thinking they know everything. You know, because you remember how you were when you were 20. It's the same thing. I cringe thinking about how I was in my 20s. But I'd like to think that if I were, in the NFL under specific rules, like there were certain things you couldn't do, even as an employee of Home Depot. There were certain things you couldn't do, and you don't do them. I can't imagine the thought process of thinking, you know what, I'm going to risk my career here as a cornerback in the NFL, making millions, I'm assuming, or at least a million. I never heard of this guy before. Zoo, look up how much he's made, if you can. Isaiah Rodgers. Like, what's the minimum? He's got to be making $500,000 at least, right? Imagine making that. What are you going to bet on a game? You're betting? That's what you think you're going to do? You're risking your NFL career to bet? Oh, my God. It just doesn't make any sense. I don't understand it. You know, at least with the drugs, like we would talk about Josh Gordon for years, right? Like, yo, you're going to get it, Josh? You keep getting suspended, like you're ruining your career. The guy had a problem. And I'm not trying to, say that you can't have a gambling problem. Obviously, you can. But wouldn't that be something that he would have had before he got in the NFL and maybe, had it worked on to a point where he said, hey, look, you could bet. You just can't bet on the NFL.
I got numbers for you.
What do you got, Zoo?
So far in his career, he has made just a little short of $3 million.
Okay, so he's not making a ton of money, but like,
I will
why?
Say this though, bro. He's about to make about $2.7 million this season.
Oh, not anymore, he's not.
Uh-huh.
So whatever bet he made, he lost. I don't care how much he won, he lost.
He didn't make $2.7 million?
Think about it. He's losing and he's going to get suspended for the year. Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, I can't comprehend it. God, people make mistakes. I understand. But this is just one it's a non-starter. And I have had an addiction to gambling at times. Now, I can't speak to the severity of others, but I've felt what it's like to be addicted to it. And fortunately, I never let it, there's been times where it's hurt me, but it's never ruined anything necessarily. And you're able to have it under control. I guess some people aren't, but I mean, do we know? Like Calvin Ridley wasn't an addictive gambler. At least not that I know of. He was just an idiot that thought it was a decent idea to bet on the games. If that's the case with Rodgers here, I mean, I just don't understand it for the life of me. 877-337-6666. We're talking Mets. We're talking Yankees. Whatever else is on your mind. Tim is calling from West Orange. What's up, Tim?
Hey, Sal. How you doing tonight?
Good, Tim. What's on your mind tonight about your Mets?
Well, I wanted to talk about Ronnie Mauricio and maybe them calling him up and giving him a shot at DH with Mark Fiento as a kind of righty-lefty platoon. Since both of them were crushing it in the minors, I think that with Mauricio, who's a natural shortstop, obviously he's blocked by Lindor at shortstop. We don't know if he could play second base, so why not let him try it at DH with Vientos and see how that goes?
Well, I mean, they'll bring him up eventually. Right now, with the latest with the Mets, first of all, Mauricio had to leave the game the other day with an injury, and I'm not sure what the status is on that as far as Mauricio having to leave that game.
Correct.
He hit another home run. But what the Mets said, Billy Epler spoke on this last week, said that they want him to get reps in left field before they think about calling him up. So this is something that Mauricio's not close. And also, you know, he's not the answer. Again, Tim, we're talking about all year long. Oh, Beatty's got to get called up. Oh, Alvarez got to get called up. Oh, Viento's got to get called up. Oh, Vogelbach's got to go. Oh, Mauricio's got to get called up. And the Mets are still 500. Almost all of those things have happened now, except for Vogelbach getting cut and Mauricio being brought up, which is not – Mauricio's not going to get called up anytime soon. He's not a difference maker anyway. It's the guys that are there that's the problem. If you would have said, hey, Sal, maybe we trade Francisco Lindor and bring up Mauricio, that maybe make a bigger impact than bringing up Mauricio on his own. And then obviously you're not going to trade Lindor, but I'm just saying.
Right. And about that guy, Roscoe – don't let it ruin your night. He's probably a Yankee tool who he's unhappy with his life. You're great. Keep doing what you're doing, and we love listening to you.
Well, thank you, Tim. I appreciate it very much. Oh, man. No, I'm not going to let it ruin my night. It's just, it's annoying. He's annoying. He doesn't get it. See, I have an issue where I get frustrated by people who don't comprehend where I'm coming from. We can disagree on something. Like, I'm aware that not everybody's going to see things the same way that I do. That's fine. Whether you, like, if you were to call and say, oh, you're nuts for saying the Yankees are going to win the World Series, I don't think they're that good. Okay, well, then give you a reason why. But Roscoe thinks, I don't know if he wants to be a talk show host. I mean, I'm guessing maybe Roscoe wants to be me. Maybe that's part of it, that he wishes he were me. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I tried to talk to him. He doesn't want to have that conversation. He's angry about probably a lot of things, but he's angry about something with me that I don't know what it is. He's angry that I'm a Mets fan, which I don't get because I give the Yankees equal love, if not more. Matter of fact, I just said this morning, I prefer watching the Yankees this year. I find them more interesting than I do the Mets. But you just have to let people like that go. Where there's some people that will just never get it. I've come to learn that in life. Now at the age of 43, there are some people that will just never get it. Sadly, that's not my problem because I can live life the way I want to. I feel bad for them though. And I try to help best I could, but I can't solve all the problems. John is calling from Union, New Jersey. What's up, John?
Hey, Sal. Good evening. First time, long time. I have a question for you. How come the Mets don't have a team captain?
I don't think that there is one on the team right now. I don't think there's a guy worthy of the captaincy. Do you?
Because, well, they should maybe nominate Alonso because when these guys are sitting in the dugout, they seem to be like all comatose. Like nobody is like urging, like trying to like get the guys going. And Buck is just sitting there. It looks like he's in a coma. It's like nobody talks to these guys.
Right, but you can't just name somebody a captain. You actually have to have a worthy captain.
Well, somebody.
And I don't believe we talked about this. I talked about it before, John. Where I don't think. I think you have three candidates. You have Brandon Nimmo. You have Francisco Lindor. You have Pete Alonso. Alonso, I think, wants to be the guy. I don't think the rest of the team wants him to be the guy. Lindor should be the guy, but he's not the guy. And Nimmo, I think, is the guy, but he doesn't have the cachet that Lindor or Alonso do as far as being those impact players that they have been. So I think they have a little bit of an issue. And, you know, I do think it's something that they miss. But maybe you can't. You know, even if they name Nimmo the captain, I don't think it's going to change everything. I think they're missing a veteran leader who can help this team have some grit, some toughness, and maybe be a little bit more consistent moving forward.
I think you're absolutely right about that. And the other thing is that if you want to win the last two games between the Braves and you have Scherzer and Verlander pitching, the thing is you want them to go long, you know, like eight innings. But, you know, you can have them pitch their hearts out, but this team's got to start hitting and start scoring some runs to help them out, because right now they can't even drive in a run. Men on base, I mean, what about the hitting coach? I mean, doesn't he talk to these guys? I mean, they come up with men on base, and the first thing they do, they swing at the first pitch.
Yeah, it's them. It's not the hitting philosophy. It's not the hitting coach. It's them. It is the Mets not performing to the level that they should be. So that's it. Yeah, you can look for excuses all you want. They're just not good enough. And thank you for the call, John. We appreciate you taking the time to give us a call. They're just not good enough. Just trying to look at the pitching matchup. So it's Carrasco versus Bryce Elder tomorrow. And then Wednesday, and is it me or is this print getting smaller by the day? Charlie Morton on the mound Wednesday taking on Scherzer. And then let's just scroll ahead to Thursday. Thank you. Thursday it's Verlander. Oh, Verlander versus Spencer Strider. Strider is as good as it gets. And it's going to be a fun series. See what the Mets are made of. But it's not the coach. It's not the hitting coach. It's not the hitting philosophy. It's not that they didn't name somebody a captain. I don't think that they have that player. There's something missing with this team. And I believe it's that Lindor is supposed to be that guy. That's the problem. Lindor is paid to be that guy. Lindor has the resume to be that guy. Lindor in New York has not been that guy. And, you know, his former teammate Jason Kipnis could call him out for being young at the time or whatever, but he's not that guy. They don't have the guy. Could it have been Carlos Carrasco? I do that all the time. Could it have been Carlos Correa? Maybe. We'll never know. He's not here. Frank is calling from Middle Village. What's up, Frank?
Hey, what's happening? How you doing?
Good, Frank. How are you?
I'm good. So I got 2 points real quick. The first one with the Mets, and I agree. I don't think it's the coach's fault, manager's fault, whatever. It's not the philosophy. But at the end of the day, what are we talking about here? We got the highest payroll in baseball, and they're a 500 team. This team needs a spark, and I don't mean bringing in a guy for energy. They need to get scared. You need to pull a guy from a game like Lindor. You need to fire Buck. You got to do something to scare these guys. I think everyone's a little too comfortable right now. You got to scare them a little.
I don't think they need to be scared. I also don't think you need to fire Buck. I mean, I wouldn't mind sitting Francisco Lindor, although not this series against Atlanta. They maybe do need a little bit of a shakeup, and I think that can happen. See, that's the issue that I have. I would, if I were a general manager, I would never, ever from year to year, I don't care how successful I was the year before, I would never, ever bring back basically the same team. And that's exactly what the Mets did. They brought back basically the same team. Now, they changed with the rotation a little bit, and they've had an influx of the young guys with Beatty and Alvarez and Vientos, but even they're not regular players just yet, where they're still, you know, Buck's not penciling in Brett Beatty and Francisco Alvarez the way that he is with Alonso and Lindor, and he's not doing that. So they have a little bit of a change, but they needed more. Something is off with the core of this team, and they've got to fix it.
I'm sorry. I get that. I agree. I think it's too much of the same, and that's what I mean by a shakeup. I think you gotta wake them up somehow and let them know that being 500 right now is absolutely not acceptable. I don't want to hear Lindor after a game saying, oh, I'm swinging the bat well. No, you're not. And we got to do something about it. And then my second point, real quick, you got to do us Mets fans a favor. Could you please do a little reverse mush for us and say the Mets are going to go 0-3 in this game, in this series against the Braves, so you reverse mush it and they win 3 in a row? Could you do that
for
us?
You got it, Frank. Here's what I'm going to do for you. And thank you for the call. I appreciate that. I'm glad you brought it up, Frank. Are you ready for this? On the eve of the Mets going to Atlanta, a house of horrors, the spot, the scene of the crime last year, where the Mets and my dreams were murdered by the Braves. And believe me, I took that harder than the Mets did. I guarantee you I took that harder than the Mets did. And I've taken more blame for it than the Mets did. I didn't even want a World Series win last year. I just wanted to win that damn division. God, I still can't believe that. But here's what I'm going to do for you, Frank, because you requested it, because you sound nice. The NL East, with the Braves leading it right now by what? 6 games in the loss column. I mean, 3.5 up on the Marlins. Nobody's taking it, although maybe we should. I mean, I don't know. I watched the Marlins play. They look like a dreadful team to me. Somehow they're in front of the Mets. I don't understand how that works. But the Braves right now at 35-24, 6 games ahead of the Mets in the loss column, getting set to take on the Mets, where all signs are pointing to Atlanta burying the Mets in the National League East. On this June 5th, ahead of this all-important series, I will tell you that I believe the NL East is over. The Mets have no shot of catching the Braves. None. They're done. It's over. The Braves are winning the National League East. Mets fans, you're welcome. Let's really put this baby to the test. 877-337-6666. We'll continue with your call. Yeah, Zoo! You're bringing back bad memories. All right, we'll take your calls on the other side. 877-337-6666. Sal Licata on the Fan.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
I just had a sneezing attack during the break. I'm not sure what's going on, but some allergies impacting me here anyway. That's why I sound, I feel like a little different. But anyway, we're going to midnight. EJ Stewart will take you through the overnight. Me and you, my last day filling in for Keith here. During the evenings, he'll be back tomorrow. Order will be restored, at least for the moment, you know, before the summer schedule. Who knows then? But be back on the overnights starting Wednesday morning. Obviously, I can't be on Tuesday morning, which is when I'm getting off at midnight. Anyway, 877-337-6666. We're talking Mets. We're talking Yankees. Mets ahead of their big series, what I call a season-defining series in Atlanta starting tomorrow night. The Yankees, we're waiting word on Aaron Judge. Let's hope it's not too severe for Judge. Let's hope it's nothing at all, but even if it is something with that toe, let's hope it's not too severe. Lou is calling from Astoria. Lou, what's on your mind this evening?
Hey, what's going on?
How are you, Lou?
You okay? Just a high blood pressure guy got over you with Roscoe there, but, you know, he's just some time I can get like him too, but it's okay, you know? Anyway.
I'm not worried about it, Lou. Honestly, here's the thing he also doesn't understand. Like, I see his name.
No, he didn't let you talk either, so...
Well, that's why I had to put him on hold. I mean, I like to have a conversation with people. That's what we do. He didn't want me to talk. But I see his name. If I didn't want to take him, I wouldn't have taken him. If I wanted to hang up on him, exactly. I would have. I gave him every opportunity there, and he showed to be just a complete fool.
All you got to do is don't take him. You're right.
Right. Well, I'm not going to from now on because he just doesn't get it. Well, I tried. This was the last try.
But I don't know. You can just listen. He's probably going to come down. The problem is this, okay? Let me tell you about the Mets, okay? Showalter right now. He's loyal to his players, okay? They're not hitting. I think they're waiting on Otani, okay? But you know what? They beat the best team in baseball, and Tampa Bay, which helped my Yankees. I appreciate that. And, you know, they might go to Atlanta, and, you know, the two guys that are getting $40 million each, the two antiques, they got to produce. We got to get at least two out of – they got to get at least two out of three, and you never know. They might sweep them, and then you know what? They're in better shape than our Yankees. What I don't understand is, and Roscoe got mad.
Well, how is that?
Because they'd be, the Yankees are six game out, and they'll be like about 3.5 out if they beat, they sweep the Braves, okay? So right. I know the division is different. The Yankees division is tougher. But right now, why? I want to ask you a question. I want you to be frank with me, okay? Mm-hmm. Why do you think, even though you're a Mets fan, this is what I probably got Roscoe pissed off. Why do you think the Yankees are going to go to the World Series when the team this year is worse than last year, and you got a guy playing shortstop that's worse than IKF?
I don't think the Yankees are worse than last year. I think they're better than they were last year.
How come? Why not?
Well, I mean, I trust their starting.
Was hitting the ball. Huh?
Hold on. Well, let me tell you. I trust their – first of all, they got the best bullpen in baseball. That's for starters. That's number one. Number two –
same thing last year. They even had a guy in the reliever that was better than them at that time. I'm not saying he was better than him. Than Mariano Rivera, okay?
Who was better than Mariano Rivera?
No, I'm saying they had a reliever last year that was in a pace to be as good as Mariano Rivera.
I don't care about the pace and stats, Lou. That's not what defines Mariano Rivera.
What's because of the bullpen? The same thing it is.
Lou, you asked me the question. Let me answer it. The bullpen is better than it was a year ago. I believe their start. Lou, let me finish it. Their starting rotation is better than it was a year ago and has the potential to be even better, assuming that Rodon can actually come back and pitch. I love what they're getting from Domingo Germán. I know it's a little bit of a struggle with Cortez right now, and then he's got the shoulder issue. But Severino, Cortez, Rodon, Germán, and Cole. I think they're better than they were a year ago.
Gary Cole, let me tell you, Gary Cole right now is batting practice. I'm a Yankee fan. This was my problem that I had.
Gary Cole is not batting practice. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Are you serious? How can you say that?
And I think their lineup is better.
ERA, huh?
I think their lineup is better than last year because of a guy like Volpe. I love what he brings to the table, specifically in the postseason.
He leads the league in strikeout, rookie. Okay?
Yeah. He's played 2.5 months here. Not even 2 months.
Listen, he's also got nine homers. Let me put it to you in two words, and then you can go. Joey Gallo is doing better than Volpe right now. As far as the
Lou, and thank you for the call. Lou, look, much like I told Roscoe, I'll tell you, you don't control when I can go. I control. And I was being nice to you and having a conversation, but you weren't even letting me talk and listening to what I was saying. God. And, I mean, look, you're entitled to your opinion. I don't care whether you're a Yankee fan or not. That doesn't mean anything to me. You think the Yankees aren't any good? Fine, I do. But I was trying to give you reasons. You ask how I think they're better than last year. I do think they're better. Their bullpen's better. I trust their starting pitching more. I think it's deeper than it's been in years past. And I like their lineup better this year because of a guy like Volpe. Harrison Bader for a full year. Gleyber Torres looks consistent this year. Rizzo has had a much better year offensively. Oh, and by the way, the Yankees could go out there and add, and you know that they will. And I don't think the rest of the American League is as good as they were last year. Let's say the Astros, for example. Maybe the Rangers are better, but maybe the Astros aren't as good. Nobody in the Central scares me at all. And, you know, Tampa's going to be tough. Their own division is very difficult, but I think the Yankees are the best team in the division. I look at this Yankee team, and I see grit and fight and fire, and I know it's hard to put, you know, it's not tangible, but I saw it in that Tampa series. They just looked to me like a better team. I never believed in their team last year, even with that record that everybody's like, oh, the 98 Yankees, go back and check the tapes. They got to be somewhere. I never believed they were that good. This year, I feel like it's different. Paul is calling from Yonkers. What's up, Paul?
Hey, Sal. Good evening.
How are you, Paul?
Good, man. Thank you. Ohtani, Ohtani, Ohtani. That's all I hear. Steve Cohen and Ohtani. What has he done for the Angels? Not a thing.
Who?
You're going
Steve Cohen?
Ohtani.
He's the owner of the Mets. Of course he hasn't done anything for
Ohtani,
the Angels.
Ohtani, what has he done for the Angels? Not
oh,
a
he's
thing.
One of the best. He's one of the best players in baseball. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him or not. He pitches, and he's an offensive player. He can
pitches.
Hit, too.
Yeah. You're going to have to pay $650 million to $700 million to battle five teams so this guy could pitch five innings. Whoopee-doo. Whoopee-doo.
No, he's a little bit better than five innings, by the way.
If you put Ohtani in front of Alonso, could Alonso hit more homers than he could?
I'm just looking at, hold on, I'm not really listening to what you're saying. I was just looking at his game log, the last five games pitched. He didn't go five innings in any of them. You're right, Paul.
Okay. Of course
he went
not.
Six. He went six
Nobody
and seven.
Goes more than five innings.
Right. Well, he went seven. I'm just going to give you his last five starts. Seven innings, six innings, six innings, six innings. FYI.
Wonderful. For $700 million.
Well, what are you worried about the money? What are you paying it? Are you paying
the
money?
No, it has nothing to do with money. You said he has to be the top bidder, Steve Cohen. So
I said Steve Cohen. Hold on. Let me tell you what I said again so you don't misquote me. Right. I said okay. I believe Steve Cohen will be the highest bidder for Shohei Ohtani. Yes.
Yes. That highest bid will be $650 to $700 million.
And are you forecasting this? How do you know this exactly?
Yes. Because five teams are going to be bidding.
Yeah. Okay, so that's what? All right, so you know the numbers. That's great. You should break that news. Okay. I mean, you can go tweet it out.
Okay, so now we move forward. You put Ohtani in front of Pete Alonso batting third. Can Alonso hit more homers than he could?
Maybe.
So what are you paying $700,000 for? A guy that could pitch six innings. You were supposed to get 99. He
Paul,
gets the 700
Paul,
million.
Paul, I'm going to try to help you out here.
You help me.
You got to understand that Shohei Ohtani is a great baseball player. And his do you understand that though or no?
Yes, I do. How
okay, so then why wouldn't you want him? Why wouldn't you want him?
How? Cuz he's not a leader.
He's not a leader.
99,
okay.
A leader.
Right. Well, I mean, is Aaron Judge available? You think Aaron Judge would leave the Yankees?
He was on the market and he didn't bid for. He was on the market.
Why do you think that is, Paul?
Why do I think why?
Why do you think the Mets didn't bid on him? Yeah, do you think Steve Cohen was cheap?
How thank Steinbrenner for allowing him to own the Mets?
Paul, could it be that? Or get this just for a second, try to understand this. Maybe Steve Cohen knew Aaron Judge was not going to leave the Yankees.
You can't tell me that if you don't make a bid.
Well, hold on a second. Paul, did the Yankees offer Judge the most money?
Because.
Did the Yankees offer Judge the most money? It's a simple question. Yes or no?
Yes, they did.
No, they didn't. They didn't. Paul, do me a favor, and thank you for the call. Get a clue. And then consider giving a call back. First, get a clue. Understand what Shohei Ohtani is as a player. That's number one. Number two, I never said he was coming to the Mets. What I said was Steve Cohen, in my opinion, Steve Cohen will not be outbid. But just the same way the Yankees were outbid for Aaron Judge, they still ended up with him. Maybe the Mets may have the highest bid, like the Padres or even the Giants did for Aaron Judge. You had two teams that outbid the Yankees for Judge. Guess what? He stayed with the Yankees. Anybody who thinks that Aaron Judge was going to leave the Yankees to go to the Mets is a complete buffoon. You're a fool if you think Aaron Judge would have left the Yankees for the Mets. He wouldn't have left the Yankees, as he proved, for anybody, let alone the Mets. That's for starters. Like, Judge was offered more money to go elsewhere to return to his hometown team, and he said no. You think he's going to leave the Yankees for the Mets? Come on now. So that's number one. Number two, you're dismissing Shohei Ohtani, one of the unquestioned greatest players the sport has ever seen, to a point where he's compared to Babe Ruth. People say he's better than Babe Ruth. He's both an effective pitcher and an effective offensive player. And you have a problem with that, with wanting that? I don't know what to tell you. Chris is calling from Lake Grove, New York. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Sal. How's it going?
How are you, Chris?
I'm good. I've been better. A longtime listener and big fan of yours, my friend Pete from Yonkers. He's called into you a few times in the last few months leading up to his tragic death the other night. But I just wanted to call in and let you know how much you meant to him and he meant to me. He's a big long-term listener, the fan. He's a Long Island guy, like, you know, like you and I. And it's very just tragic story. You know, he witnessed his mother die and his father at 9 and 12 years old, respectively, and grew up an orphan in the system. And, you know, his main thing was his fandom for sports and WFAN. And, you know, he's always been a big friend, fan of Craig's, as well as Boomer's and yourself. And more recently, you became his favorite host. And he called into you a few times. And I just wanted to let you know how much you meant to him and he meant to me. And, you know, I don't know. I'm kind of at a loss for words. It's been a rough few days, but I just want to let you know that you meant a lot to him.
Well, I mean, I'm terribly saddened to hear that, Chris. So I'm sorry for your loss. I'm sorry for our loss. And I appreciate you mentioning that. And it makes me obviously upset to hear about that. We appreciate his loyalty. We appreciate your loyalty for listening and calling. You never want to hear things like that. I wonder sometimes, you know, because we have a relationship with the callers and, you know, listeners too, of course, but the callers, it's a direct conversation on occasion. And sometimes you don't hear from people and you don't know what happened because I have no idea to get in contact with you, Chris, or obviously Pete, when he was here. So I appreciate the update on it. It's obviously terrible news. I'm sad to hear it, but I appreciate you letting me know. Yeah.
And I'm sorry to kill the vibe of the show, Sal. And, you know, you're a Long Island guy. If you watched the news or saw Newsday yesterday, he's the unidentified man who was killed in a hit and run in Port Jefferson Station. That being said, you know, he's one of those people who didn't want for nothing, even though he was a down on his luck type of guy. He didn't have any family aside from myself and somebody he considers his sister. We were going to start a GoFundMe page, Sal, and I'm not trying to plug it. Not to pay for funeral costs, but he grew up in a home for wayward boys that he said actually helped, you know, with his life. And if we can get that started, I was hoping that maybe you, Sal, you know, Boomer and Gio being Long Island WFAN host that he loved and adhered so much, you know, might be able to help spread the word on that, you know, just so we could make a nice donation in his memory to a
let
very
me,
good cause.
Let me put you on. I'm not sure how to begin that, Chris, to be honest with you. I have no experience in that. Let me put you on hold, and I'll have Big Zoo get your information, and we'll see if we can work something out and hopefully get
that.
This started. Yep, no problem, Chris.
I
appreciate it, and thank you for the call. I'm sorry for your loss, and like I said, I'm sorry to hear about that. I mean, that sucks. Life sucks, man, at times. It's you don't know what people are going through, and what's going on a daily basis. I did not see this on the news, but I just Googled it as you were saying it here. Fatal hit and run in Port Jefferson Station. And, they did not identify him, and you're saying that as Pete and Yonkers. So, I mean, look, it's terrible news to hear it, but I do appreciate you letting us know how much he loved the station and what he meant for us, and we'll try to figure out a way if we could help. Zoo will get that information. I will run it by my bosses and see what is legal, what's not, what's possible. But we appreciate you taking the time to give us a call, Chris. And again, I'm sorry for your loss. All right, we'll take a quick break, and we'll come back on the other side and continue with your calls. It's Sal Licata on The Fan. Talking mostly Mets, mostly Yankees. We mentioned, did we mention a little bit before about the NBA? We did not. We talked about that, I guess, this morning, where the Heat, you know, obviously beat the Nuggets. Even that series, one game apiece. It is remarkable what Miami is doing. And they can become Florida, of all states, Florida can become the first sports town to have a winner in both the NBA and the NHL in the same year. I thought I read that somewhere before, where you would have the Panthers, or Miami could become that, where you have the Florida Panthers and, of course, the Miami Heat. And at this point, I'm not counting the Heat out. I know Florida was down one game to none. They play tonight, game two in that series against Vegas. I checked out of the Stanley Cup playoffs once the Rangers were eliminated, and look at the teams that it'd be one thing if it were Toronto that were in it, or Boston, or even Tampa Bay again, or Edmonton on the other side. I mean, come on, Florida and Vegas, woof. Anyway, I'm not going to be betting against the Heat anytime soon. Remarkable what they've been able to do. A team that I don't even think is that good. A team that does not have the three stars that everybody says you need to have. Oh, you got to have at least two big stars in the NBA. And yet they're three wins away from winning it all. Anyway, back to the Yankees, back to the Mets. 877-337-6666. Jake is calling from Long Island. What's up, Jake?
Hey, what's up, Sal?
How are you, Jake?
Good. What's going on? Hey, don't let those naysayers get you down, man. Like Roscoe, you're good. You're great.
Well, I know I'm good, and I'm great. And thank you for the call. He didn't say that. He's just an idiot. I mean, I don't let it get me down. It's just frustrating, and I try to, like I said, let him understand where I'm coming from. He just doesn't get it. So it's okay. We can move on.
Yeah. But no, you're good. Don't worry. Looking at this Yankee...
Did I sound worried, Jake? Was there something in my voice that made me sound worried? I mean, I appreciate your concern, but I'm not...
No, you just sounded a little upset that, like, people were getting on you, so...
Well, it wasn't people. It was him. And it wasn't that I was upset with it. It was just annoying to have that type of call, where he obviously doesn't understand how this works. And I've had that conversation with Roscoe over and over and over again. It is why I swear to you, I will never again take another one of his calls as long as I'm here on the radio. He could call the other hosts that do shows.
Yeah, I understand you. Looking at this Yankee road trip, they did a great job out west. Played the Dodgers, took 2 out of 3. But, this big concern is Aaron Judge, of course. And if he's gone for a few weeks, it could really change the tone of his team.
Well, I mean, look, I don't know if it's going to change the tone. Thank you for the call, Jake. Appreciate you checking in. I don't know if it's going to change the tone on this team that seems to be rolling right now and playing really well. They just won a huge game on Sunday Night Baseball without him. But it depends on what the injury is. I hate to even speculate on it because I'm not sure the severity of the injury. We could be talking about a 10-day stint. Then what? Would you be, you think that's going to change the outlook then too? And if it's 2 months, that changes a lot, potentially. Then the storyline is going to become, how the hell are the Yankees going to weather the storm here? How are they going to survive until Judge comes back? But we don't know, so it's hard to say. Mike is calling from Queens. What's up, Mike?
Sal, what's going on?
How are you, Mike?
Listen, I don't want to get into a fight with you, but I just want to explain to you why it is not a good idea for the Mets to sign Shohei Ohtani. Okay?
Okay. Yeah.
Without getting, complicated, listen, if you're going to sign Shohei Ohtani, it's going to cost you, at best, $50 to $60 million a year. Is that fair? Best case scenario.
Yeah, I would think correct? So. I mean, I think he's worth at least that. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So he's obviously top pitcher, top hitter. Now, if you were to sign a top pitcher for $30 million and a top hitter for $30 million separately, do you not think the Mets as a baseball team would be in a stronger position minimizing the risk of injuring one player and losing your top pitcher and top hitter?
Didn't we already have this conversation, Mike?
Not with me. I've never called before, Sal. I just listened
okay.
to the other guy I called.
Okay, no, then maybe it was somebody else who brought up the same point that you did, that why risk investing in one player?
It's not just that, Sal. You can get a better you can get for $30 million, you can get a pitcher who's better than Ohtani pitching. Ohtani is great because he does both. But you can get a single hitter for $30 million who's better than Ohtani as a hitter.
Well, who is that guy then?
Just off the top of my head, I mean, Aaron Nola's a free agent and Max Chapman's a free agent. Do you not think both those guys would be less than $50 million? It'd probably be like $45 million to sign both those guys. And you don't think that's equivalent to Ohtani's pitching prowess and hitting prowess?
No, I don't. I think Ohtani's better than both those guys. Plus, where's Matt Chapman going to play? You're going to put him at third base and do what with Brett Beatty?
You can DH. You can DH either one of them. You're going to DH Ohtani.
Well, anyway. Chapman, you're going to have him at third base because of his defensive acumen. Right, I mean, Ohtani is a DH.
You can DH anybody.
No, I understand that, but you're not going to DH a guy that plays with a gold glove, and then you're diminishing Brett Beatty.
I agree with you. That's a plus that Ohtani doesn't bring you.
I mean, look, if you choose, Mike, to build your team based on wanting to have Chapman and Aaron Nola as opposed to Ohtani, that's your opinion. You're allowed to. I would rather have Shohei Ohtani. And by the way, I'm not saying I never even said that I would go after Ohtani. I mean, it should go without saying, but I've never even said that. All I said was that I believe the Mets will be the highest bidders. I don't even know if he wants to play
on the
East Coast.
I totally agree, but my problem is that I think Steve Cohen wants him purely for entertainment reasons. And I mean, because he thinks it's better for his brand. He thinks it'll draw more people.
Well, not purely.
And he may be right. He may be right. But it's not the best baseball move.
No, but it's not. How could you say purely for entertainment reasons when Ohtani is clearly one of the best players in the sport?
Because I think you can get more bang for your buck splitting it up.
Yeah, but now you're going again quantity over quality. See, I mean, are you Sandy Alderson? I mean, what are we doing here?
I think you can get a better hitter and a better pitcher for cheaper and still have money, excess money for a relief pitcher.
I don't think either of those guys that you mentioned are better than Shohei Ohtani. And thank you for the call, Mike. Now, you're allowed to have that opinion. I do not. I think you're wrong, but, I mean, that's okay. Chapman's a fine player. I'd rather have Ohtani. I think he's a better offensive player than Matt Chapman. And Nola's fine. I'd rather have Ohtani on the mound than I would Aaron Nola. And I would also rather have the excitement, and that means something. The entertainment aspect that Shohei Ohtani brings. Ohtani's a better player than those guys. You like, it's not even my opinion, your opinion. It is fact. Shohei Ohtani is better than Matt Chapman and Aaron Nola. And he will get paid in accordance to that. Now, again, I don't know if he's going to want to be here. Maybe Ohtani is open to the East Coast, but maybe he wants to play for the Yankees. Maybe his dream was to be in the Pinstripes. Ohtani is a next year story. I know we've talked about it a lot this year, and it came up before because I think a caller brought it up, but I can't even imagine there would be Mets fans who wouldn't want Ohtani. Also, you have to understand something. This is not, as I mentioned, the BC Mets before Cohen, where you had to watch how you spent the money. Now they don't. They could get Ohtani and still have the room for Scherzer and Verlander and Lindor and maybe go out and get others. Like, there are no restrictions here. There's no salary cap. And Steve Cohen is the richest owner by far in the sport. So I'm not sure why you would want to, I don't know if I want to spend $60 million on the best player that we could have. Let's get maybe the second or third best player or fourth or fifth best player. Then we could get two guys. Why would you pay two guys to do the job that one guy can do for you and do it better? Now, again, you think Nola is better than Ohtani? I disagree. You think Chapman's better than Ohtani? I, again, disagree. 877, and it also depends on need. Mets don't need a third baseman. They could use another starter, and they could use a DH. I know one guy who does both. 877-337-6666. More your calls on the other side. Sal Licata on the Fan.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter. This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.